Hey there, listeners. Thank you for taking time out of your week to listen in today. We're so glad you're here and are praying this message helps you. We also want to make sure you know about our latest podcast called the Anything's Possible Podcast. We've created it specifically with you in mind because we engage in deep conversations with people who are making both an impact here at our church and all around the city of Nashville. We believe everyone has a story to tell, a step to take, and that with Jesus, anything's possible. So make sure to subscribe today to the Anything's Possible podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast. Okay, let's get you back to why you're here. Here's the latest message from Cross Point Church.
Such an incredible story. And our hearts build with anticipation and expectancy because we believe that in these next 30 days that God is going to continue just to awaken people, awaken their hearts to Him, to the life of God. And I believe that awakening is for you too. As we enter into these 30 days of fasting and of praying for those around us, that God also wants to awaken us to the fullness of who He is. And so we are fired up to begin awakening this weekend. Now, if you've ever worn like an old school watch, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. It's like an old school watch. I'm talking about one that doesn't like tell you when to breathe. Like, you know, give you notifications. Like an old school watch, like you would put it on, like maybe you got it as a gift and then you put it on. And when you first begin to wear it, like you recognize that you've got a watch on and you know you've got a watch on every day, all the time. And then something happens over time, you forget that you've got a watch on. Like you forget that you've got a watch on. You grew used to having a watch on and so you forget that you're wearing one. And psychologists, they term this habituation. Habituation. And habituation is this idea that a new object or stimulus can be introduced into the environment. And at first you have a heightened awareness, but then over time, awareness fades. And it's not just with our watches. It also happens with a fence. This is a fence at my house. This is what I see every day when I pull into the driveway and park my car. I see this view right here. And this board right here, I put that board up because of a storm took the fence down, so I had to put a new board up, and I put a board up, and I didn't paint that board, and at first I saw, well, there's the board I haven't painted, but then over time, I stopped seeing the board that was unpainted, and now I no longer see it. I am blind to that. I mean, I see it right now when I'm with a bunch of my closest friends. I see the board that I haven't painted, but over time, I stopped noticing that board. That's habituation. And you need to stop judging me, or I'm gonna come to your house and take pictures of your stuff that's undone. I'm gonna put it up on the TV, right? But the idea is that we all have things that we once saw, and we were like, there is no way I could live with it like that. But then over time, our awareness fades, and we stop seeing those things. That's habituation. It doesn't just happen with our homes, it happens with our neighbors. I mean, think about when you first move into a house or move into an apartment or you go into the dorm. Like at first, you're really aware of who's around you. Like you have this heightened awareness of who's living around you in close proximity. In fact, you just take notice of what they drive and when they arrive, and you kind of see all these things. And then one day the moment happens where you get to meet your neighbor and you go out and you have a conversation and you exchange names and pleasantries, and then you go back on Facebook and you stalk them. I'm just kidding. Not really. You really did. And so then you're going, you're trying to figure out who's living around you. And you have a heightened awareness at the beginning, like you notice neighbors, but then what happens is over time, our awareness fades. Over time, our neighbors can become kind of background noise in our lives. True? We're going to be honest today? Like what can happen is that we lose awareness of the people that are around us. That's what we're talking about with habituation. Now, a study came out last year that revealed that only 31% of Americans know their neighbors' names. Now don't get nervous, we're not gonna quiz you, but only 31%. That through our lives, we can get caught up in the busyness and the hectic pace, and even if we learned our neighbor's name one time, we can forget them. And it's just, we lose awareness over time. We get caught up in the same old, same old. There was a guy named Mike Bro who shared a story. And he calls kind of this idea of habituation the same old, same old. He gives this story, and I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to show you what I heard him say. He said, "You get up at the same old time and walk into the same old bathroom, look at the same old face in the same old mirror, get in the same old shower and dry off with the same old towel and put on the same old clothes. You walk down to the same old kitchen, get out the same old bowl, eat the same old cereal, drink the same old coffee, kiss the same old cheek of the same old wife. He said this. I didn't. This is, I'm just reading. He said, you drive the same old car down the same old street to the same old job, laugh at the same old jokes, same old boss, tells the same old way. You clock out at the same old time, get back in the same old car and drive down that same old street and pull into the same old garage and hug the same old kids and walk in that same old kitchen, sit down at the same old dinner. And then Mike said, you sit in the same old recliner and watch the same old TV show, fall asleep in that same old chair and have to get up and crawl into the same old bed and ask the same old wife the same old question, get the same old answer, roll over and set the same old alarm clock to get up and do all the things all over again. Thank you, Mike. And you know, the same old can lull us to sleep. Like we can go through days and weeks and months and even years. And we go through life and go like, there's got to be more than this. There has to be more than the same old. There has to be more. And then there's these moments where we just become aware, where we begin to wake up. It reminds me of Jacob in the Old Testament. And he's this guy who had kind of settled into patterns in his life. There was family dysfunction and estranged relationships. And he'd made a mess of things and he was running from his past. And it's one night that he goes to sleep and he has this dream. He has this dream and in his dream he has this encounter with God. And God says, Jacob, you can't outrun me. Like I'm pursuing you. And I have a plan for you. I have a dream for your life. And Jacob, I am watching over you and I am with you. And just like I was with your father, I'm with you. And Jacob has this moment where he just wakes up. And physically he wakes up and spiritually he wakes up. And in that moment he says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. Jacob wakes up and he realizes God was here. God was with me the entire time. God was pursuing me my entire life. God was present in this place. And I went to sleep one way and I woke up the next and God is here. And what Jacob's story teaches us that's true of us is we can not see God's presence. We cannot experience his presence. We can grow habituated spiritually. We can move through our lives and the rhythms and the routines and we can get so caught up and that we miss the fact that God is with us and that he's been pursuing us. And God wants to say to you what he said to Jacob all those years ago, and that I am with you and I'm not giving up on you and I'm pursuing you and I want to wake you up to the reality of my presence, my power, my glory, that I want a relationship with you. And Jacob woke up. And I wonder how many of us have kind of fallen asleep. How many of us have just kind of settled in that the way things are the way they always will be? Maybe we've just kind of settled into family dysfunction, or we've settled in and we justify addiction, and we've settled in to toxic relationships, and we just kind of settle in to same old, and God's saying, I want to wake you up today. I want to awaken you to my love. I want to awaken you to what I have for you. Maybe there was a time when you were awake. Maybe there was a time when you just kind of, you were aware of God's presence. Maybe there was a time where you craved his word. Maybe there was a time when you had this sense of like that he was speaking to you. Maybe there was a time when like you talked about him or you had fresh stories. Maybe it's been a long time since you've had a fresh story of something that God did in your life. Maybe it's been a long time since you read the scriptures. Like they used to be open on your lap and now they're kind of on the coffee table as decoration. And maybe there's a time when you felt like you were talking to God, and now maybe it feels like the prayers are just kind of bouncing off the ceiling. Maybe there was something that you did that made you feel like you were really far away from God right now. And God wants to awaken you to the reality, like Jacob, that he is with you, that he's pursuing you. And even though you may have given up on him at one time, he never gave up on you. He wants to wake you up. I love to wake up my kids. As a dad, I love to wake up my kids, and I love to kind of go in there while they're asleep. And like my wake-up voice is a whisper. I say, wake up, buddy. Wake up, baby girl. You know, they're teenage daughters. So I'm still, wake up, baby. Like I love. And sometimes I go in and I'll sing. Good morning to you. My teenage daughters are all cringy right now. They're like, "Dad," you know. I'm like, "Good morning, too." Like, I love to wake them up. You know what I love about waking them up? It's that moment where they're sideways and you're this way, but they're sideways and they just... It's that blinky confusion that goes on in the morning. You know what I'm talking about? You ever woke up blinky confused? I'm not talking about last night after Broadway, after a long night on Broadway. I'm talking about like the blinky, like, where am I? This is a different where am I. It's that moment where you wake up and you're like what? Like, but here's what we learn from that is that you don't realize that you were asleep until you're awake. That's the blinky confused. You don't realize that you were asleep until you're awake. And then the moment you're awake, you're like, oh, I was asleep. And the same is true spiritually. That you can go years of your life and not realize that you are asleep until the moment that you're awake. Where you realize, man, I'm starting to wake up. I'm starting to wake up to who God is. I'm starting to wake up to who I am. I'm starting to wake up to what is true. And that's what we're talking about with awakening. It's like Dana said in the video. She said, I went years of my Christian life and it felt like I was asleep, but I'm waking up on the inside. And you have a father who loves to wake us up. But his wake-up voice is a whisper. And he's whispering, wake up, wake up. And it's not just people outside the walls who are asleep, it's people inside the walls who are asleep. People in being a church, this is scripture in Ephesians, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to the church, and he says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's saying, wake up. Like, wake up to who God is, wake up. And what I love is getting to hear these stories of people who are waking up. Ree and I hear these stories all the time. We'll be out and about in town and somebody will come and they'll say, hey, God is doing a thing in me that's never been done before. He's never done it in me before. Like, I got a desire for scripture I didn't have before. I've started praying. I didn't know how to pray before. God's teaching me how to pray. We hear stories of people saying, man, God's changing my family, my kids. He's changing their life. God's working in our lives. He's waking us up. Stories of people, prayers that have been answered. Miracles that God has done. We hear stories of people saying, you know what, I want to be baptized now because now I realize it's about my faith. It's not just something that I'm inherited from my parents. No, I'm taking it as my own. I want to go public with my faith. Stories of like grown men coming and saying, you know what, I come into worship and we're singing. I start to cry like grown men, like strapped, like big, like diesel men, like just going. And when music starts going, people start worshiping, like I start crying. And God will tell me, I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's that there are places in your heart that have been asleep that God is waking you up on the inside. So bring some Kleenex, right? I mean, it's the presence of God. And having a moment like Jacob, we're like, God's in this place and I didn't even know it. But it's not just that God's in this place, like he stays here all week, waiting for you to return. God's like, I'm pursuing you. I'm all over the place. I'm wherever you are because I'm in pursuit of you. And so God's saying, I just want to continue to wake you up. But there's a collaborative relationship between the waker and the wakee. Like when I wake my kids up, they have a choice whether they will get up or not. I say, get up, wake up, good morning. Like I start saying, I'm not going to sing again. But I start waking them up and then they got a choice. And what will happen is kids will say, I'm up. And then they'll sit up, but they will fake you out. Like they'll say, I'm up, but then you leave the room and they're like, they gone. You know, like in that moment, like they're back asleep. And how many of us, that's been the experience of our life, is that God, every weekend, God's saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. But man, we can continue to hit the alarm clock. And what we're saying in these 30 days is, God, would you do the awakening that our hearts long for? But it's a relationship between the waker and the wakee. And God is saying, I'm waking you up. It's what Jesus came to do. Right? I mean, you read through the Gospels, what's amazing is how Jesus just wakes people up and how he wakes people up one at a time. Sometimes he would teach just thousands of people. He would be trying to wake people up from a hillside and people down below. He'd begin from a boat where he was teaching from a boat. He would just wake people up. But most of the time with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. And what his closest friends will tell you about his life is that he walked down the street and he would wake up the people that other people would say, just let them sleep. He saw the people that other people overlooked. He saw the people that experienced addiction. He saw the people that were oppressed. He saw the people that were depressed. He saw the people that had been through multiple marriages, the people who had made a mess of family relationships. Jesus went to them and said, I want to wake you up. The people who were criminals, the people who had a rap sheet, the people who were caught up in their past, Jesus said, I want to wake you up. People that other people overlooked and pushed aside, Jesus sought them out and he said, I want to wake you up. Come follow me. I see more in you than you can see. Come. Come, follow me. This is the invitation of Jesus. And Jesus woke up. He woke up two groups of people. There were two primary groups of people that Jesus is waking up. The first is that he woke up people who were asleep in sin. And to be asleep in sin is to be caught up in decisions that have been made, to be caught up in lifestyle, to be in a place of sin where you go, wait a minute, we fall short of God's glory and we can be asleep in our sin and that we go, man, I don't know how to stop doing these things or I don't know how to be free from this. And so we can just kind of be asleep in those patterns. We can be asleep in those ways, either because of sin that we've committed or sin that other people have committed against us. We can be asleep in our sin and when what it feels like to be asleep in sin. I know because I've been there. It can feel like, man, I just keep trying harder. I just keep trying and I'm trying so hard and we get so discouraged because there just seems to be no difference. There seems to be no way to pull ourselves. We feel like we're trying to pull ourselves up and make ourselves levitate with our own shoestrings. Right? We're just trying to lift ourselves up and we get exhausted that way and I just give in. Because a life of self-help has us exhausted. We're just going, I can't change things. And so we give up and we give in. And Jesus came to that group and he said, no, I want to wake you up to me. Not your self-help, but I want to help you. I want a relationship. There's another group of people that Jesus sought to wake up. It was people who were asleep in their religion. And the people who were asleep in their religion, this is even more dangerous because they didn't know they were asleep. Because while this group over here say, I'm too far gone, this group over here says, man, God got a good deal when he got me. See, this group is asleep in their self-righteousness. And rather than an awareness of God, they spend more time comparing themselves with people in this group so that they can feel better about where they're at. And Jesus is like, I came to wake you up too. I came to wake up those who are asleep in sin, those who are asleep in religion. And these people were deeply offended by Jesus at the thought that they needed to be awakened. And so they made it their goal to try to expose Jesus or either to try to discredit him. And one time this religious leader, he was kind of a religious lawyer. He came to Jesus as an expert of the law and he wanted to trap him. In his statement, I want to show you what he said. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25, if you got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along on the screen. But we'll begin in verse 25. So religious leader coming to Jesus. He said, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit what? Let's try one more time. What must I do to inherit what? See, I was interactive on the second one. You guys, that was great. So what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Apparently only 31% of Hebrews knew their neighbor's names also. Come on, y'all. That was funnier than that. That was like, I've been looking forward to that moment all week long. And y'all, you didn't let me down, but I was hoping for more. All right. Who is my neighbor? We're going to talk more about that question. We're going to talk more about Jesus' answer to the question next week. But today I just want us to think about that question, like who is my neighbor? And he asked Jesus the question, like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he asked that question, and you think about expert in the law, the reason he asked the question is because he wanted to trap Jesus. He was given a pop quiz, but what he didn't realize is he was given a pop quiz to the author of the book. So he asked Jesus this question, and many times when you read through the Gospels, what will happen when somebody asks Jesus a question, but he doesn't sense that they're really asking a question, he'll answer their question with another question. So this guy asked him the question, and Jesus said, well, what do you think? Like, how do you read the book? The man comes back and he gives him his answer. But the question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now I want us to think about that for a moment. When he asked the question, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? When we think about eternal life, we think about a destination. When we think of eternal life, we think of where we go when we die. When we think of eternal life, we think of heaven. We think of a location. When we think of eternal life, we think of the end of life. But what he's talking about here is more than just a destination. He's talking about eternal life here and now also. Because when the Hebrew mind thought of eternal life, it wasn't just about duration. It was about the depth of life. It wasn't just about the quantity of life. It was about the quality of life. He said, how do we inherit? How do we receive? How do we have eternal life? Because eternal life was the opposite of a temporal life. A temporal life was where life is all about temporary things, like work and what we're going to eat and sleep and paying the bills. The same old, same old. It's like, how do I get out of the same old, same old? And Jesus said that you would have eternal life. Now, the only time that the only time Jesus gives a definition of eternal life is in the book of John. Jesus defines one time what eternal life is. He says, now this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what Jesus tells us is that eternal life is a relationship. That eternal life equals knowing God, that that's eternal life, and that we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin when we die. Eternal life starts now. Eternal life begins the moment that we trust in Christ. The moment that we have that moment, we put our faith in him, we receive eternal life. Life becomes about more than temporal things. Life becomes about more than the same old, same old. We experience eternal life. Eternal life isn't just what happens when we cross a river, when we die. It's jumping in the river now, the river of God's love and the river of God's presence, the river of God's, that we encounter him and we experience him and we live awake to him. Well, how do we have eternal life? How do we stay awake to him? Well, we focus on what's eternal, and what's eternal, love God, love others. Because there's only three things in this world that's eternal: God, his word, and the souls of people. Only three things in this world will last forever. It's those three things. And the degree by which we invest our lives in what's eternal is how we experience eternal life here now. Love God, love others. Really simple, really challenging. Can't do it in your own strength. But it's God waking us up. And instead of teaching this, I want to tell you a story. A couple weeks ago, I needed a fluorescent light put up in my garage, and I was like, I could go on YouTube and like see how to do that, but I was like, no, that'll kill you. That'll kill you. I'm not interested in having somebody on YouTube tell me how to do something that's going to kill me. And so I was like, I need to get some help. And so I went on this app called Thumbtack. You guys, I went on this app and I looked on Thumbtack and I found a guy that could do electrical work. And so we set up, he came over to the house. This guy comes up, he's, you know, 30 something year old guy, Honduran, he's kind of tatted up, and so we start talking, and his name is Alexi, and I said, Alexi, can you help me? He's like, yeah, but do you have the light? And I'm like, I don't have the light. And he's like, well, you were supposed to have the light. I'm like, I didn't know. I thought you brought the light. I thought that's what you did. But he's like, no, I don't have a light. And so I was like, you want to go to Home Depot? We'll go get a light. And Alexi's like, yeah, go get a light. And so we're going to get the car and go, and then I saw my son, Durham, over there, and I was like, Durham, you want to come ride with us? Because that's what you always want to do when you're riding in a car with a stranger that you never met before. You always want to bring your 12-year-old and put him in the back seat. This is just life wisdom, life hacks for me. And so I put Durham in the back seat, and we're riding down the road, and Alexi, we start having a conversation. I'm like, man, I said, you speak great English, man. Tell me a little bit about how'd you learn English? And he said, well, he said, when I moved from Honduras and I moved to Virginia, I was working on a farm, and I was working for a man that spoke English and Spanish, and the man, he would speak Spanish to me, but then he would call me a name, and the name he used for me would always be an English word, and I never knew what that word meant. And then finally I asked somebody, what did that name mean? And I found out that it was a cuss word. And he said, I realized in that moment, and I determined that that will never happen to me again. He said, and so I've learned English. I was like, that was your motivation? He said, yeah. I said, man, you speak great English. And then he said, I don't know if you believe in Jesus or not. I was like, dude, you're in the right car, man. So we're riding along, and he starts telling me a story. Starts telling me a story about how, after being on that farm, how he got caught up in a drug life and caught up in dealing. He got caught up in transport as a mule, and he's caught up in addiction and cocaine. Marijuana, just caught up in that lifestyle. He said, I was addicted to all these things, and I was dealing all these things. And he said, my life was empty. My life was empty. He said, and I ended up through some events, and he told me a story. I ended up in jail in Nashville. He said, and it was at that moment, he said, I knew enough of God to know that maybe I could give my life to him. He said, it was in jail that I just said, God, I don't know if you want my life, but you can have it. You can have it. He said, God, change me. He said, he changed me. He began to change me. And I gave up life, and he changed me. I gave up my life and got free from addiction. Gave my life, set free from all these other things. And then as we're talking, he's sharing scripture. And he's sharing scripture with me. And I'm just like, this guy is on fire for God. He's sharing these scriptures, and then he'd look over at me. He'd like say the reference of the scripture, like look over at me. Is that right? And some of the scripture, I didn't know the address. I was like, well, okay. And so he's like, y'all don't tell him, but I didn't know. And so like, man, and he's just, you could just tell there's this life of God on him. And he's just telling me stories about what he's doing. We get to the house, he puts the light up and gets done with that. And I was like, man, we're about to have dinner. You want to come have dinner with us? And he came and had dinner with us that night. And he just told more stories. I got the kids around. He's telling stories. My kids' eyes are like that. I mean, it's like, and I mean, I'm listening to these stories, and you know, he told me being an electrician, he was like, that's my ministry. He says, my ministry. Being an electrician is my ministry. Man, I remember we got through that conversation. I was like, man, I feel like I got a new friend. I want to spend more time with you. I found out the church that he went to, and I called his pastor this past week, Casa de Dios. And I called the pastor over there. I was like, I just want to tell you I met Alexi. And I think he serves like in the production at your church, but man, good job. Like, I love what you're doing because I love Alexa. Like, great, great work. It's like, man, I love this guy. And there was never one moment at dinner that I questioned if this guy loved God. I just tell what he loved by what he talked about. I can tell what he loved by the stories that he told. Like, I knew that he loved God, and there was not one moment that I questioned whether he loved people, because I could tell he loved people by the way he treated the people around the table. And people can tell what you love. And people can tell what I love when they spend time around us. Like, you can tell when somebody's awake. And I'm like, man, if Alexi can live that awake to God, then we can too. But there's the relationship between the waker and the wakee to be able to say, God, I want to be awake. God, wake me up. And can I just give you a confession? I realized after that night with Alexi, I realized, you know what? I know Alexi better than I know some people who live around me. I know his story better than I know some of those people's stories that live in my neighborhood. I know Alexi. I've shared more meals with Alexi than I have some people who live down the street and across the street from me. And I wonder if the same's not true for you. Because I think for God and the awakening that he wants to do in us, I think it involves us being awake to see people. You realize we can go through an entire day and not see people. But it's taking those people that are kind of at the background of our lives and begin to see people again. And not just see people, but see people as he sees people. And if we want to see people as he sees people, that begins in prayer. Because when you start praying for other people, you become awakened. Awaken to what God is doing in their lives. So last week we gave out packets for Awaken Nashville, and inside those packets is this prayer card. And if you didn't get a packet, perhaps there would be some in the lobby. You could pick one up, or if you go to crosspoint.tv/prayer card, you can get this prayer card. And the idea is that on this prayer card, you begin to write down the names of people over the next 30 days that you would pray for. Write down the names of neighbors and of coworkers, of friends, family members, people that are close to you but far from God. That word neighbor, when he asked the question, who is my neighbor? That word neighbor means someone who is near, someone who is in proximity, someone who is close by, maybe somebody who's close by in a classroom or close by on a ball team, somebody who's close by at the office. Begin to see people, and we see people and just ask God, God, who are the people you want me to pray for the next 30 days? And I'm going to tell you, when we start praying for people, we start seeing God move in their life, because what you're praying for is what you're looking for, and what you're looking for, you tend to find. And we begin to pray for people. We begin to see God's activity in their lives. And why do this? There's a scripture in Acts 17. In Acts 17, it says this. It says, in him we live, we move, we have our being. And that he has appointed for us before we were born the time and place that we would live. Think about that. Before you were born, God had already determined where you would live. You say, well, I signed that lease. Well, I bought that house. Like, that's the dorm that I was assigned to, not by man, but by God. God has placed you strategically. You are part of his strategy for reaching this city. He has placed you. Some of you are going, well, could you place me somewhere else, God? But he has placed you at that place in this season. And some of us can be so focused on the next that we miss the now. The now of what God's called us to. And he continues and says, and God did this so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far off from any one of us. For in him we live, we move, we have our being. God's not far off from any one of us. He's not far off from our neighbor. He's placed us right next door. That our neighbors would have a Jacob moment. They'd be like, God is in this place. I didn't even know it. But it begins when God's people start to pray. It can begin with a prayer card like this and say, God, who would you have me pray for? That they would be awakened to you. That they would encounter your love, that they would see you for who you are, that they would have a Jacob moment and realize that you've been pursuing them and reach out for you. And so we've also got some of you saying, well, I want to be in on that, but how do I pray for my neighbors? Well, there's a book that's in the packet. It's called Jesus Next Door. My friend Dave wrote this book. Get a hold of this, or you can go online to awakennashville.com and you can find a digital copy of it if that would serve you better. But it's a 30-day devotional that takes us through praying for our neighbors. These are just tools to help you. A prayer card. We also got something that might help you. Maybe you're a big sticker fan. But I need all the reminders. Okay, listen, the way we break free from habituation is we start a new habit. And we put something somewhere where we will remember. Maybe you're saying, well, I'd love to pray for my neighbors. I just keep forgetting. You can take a sticker like this and put it somewhere that you'll see. Put a name on it. And put it somewhere that you'll see to remind you to pray for them. And when we pray, God moves. And when God moves, we get to see the stories of him doing other people's lives and also doing our lives, the joy of knowing that we got to be a part of someone else having a Jacob moment, being aware of God's presence, someone else reaching out for God. So these are just tools that we have for you over the next 30 days. But the heart behind it is that God would wake us up so that we could wake up others. And so I want to pray for you in that. I want to invite you to join me in a prayer and ask you to bow your heads and your hearts with me. And maybe your honest prayer before God is, God, you're starting to show me that I'm asleep. You're starting to wake me up. I'm just saying yes to that. I'm saying yes to that. Over these next 30 days, and even right now in this moment, God, would you wake me up? If that's your prayer, I want to invite you to do something. It's between you and God. But if it's your prayer, just put your hand over your heart. Say, God, wake my heart up. Wake my heart up to who you are. Wake my heart up to who I am to you. So Father, I pray for each one who has put their hand on their heart. I pray that you would begin to awaken their hearts and their minds to the truth of who you are, that you would pour out your spirit and you would fill their hearts with your love, with your power, with your presence. God, I pray that you would give them faith to begin to believe again. God, for those who maybe cynicism or maybe hurt or pain, or maybe a pattern has led them far away and even caused them to believe that you would have nothing to do with them. God, would you overwhelm them with your love? Lord, thank you that you love them. In your love, would you awaken their hearts? Would you wake them up with your whisper? God, would you give them the faith to open up your word? Would you give them the courage to begin to pray again? God, would you give them eyes to see, ears to hear your whisper, and the trust to obey you wherever you lead. And then, Father, we want to pray as your people, not just that you'd wake us up, but that you'd use us, use our lives to help other people find the life that you've given to us. So if that's your prayer, if you're saying, God, I want you to use my life to help wake up others, would you just open up your hands? You just open up your hands before God. And this is a That's a posture of surrender. God, we receive where you've placed us. We receive where you've put us on the map. We receive our location. And God, we receive today our assignment. Lord, we receive our divine assignment for which you placed us where you've put us. Now, God, we ask for eyes to see our neighbors as you see them. Would you put your love in our hearts for them? God, we just say we can't love them like you on our own. We need your love for that. God, would you give us forgiveness where we need forgiveness? Would you give us compassion where we need compassion? God, would you help us see who they could be in you? And would you help us pray in that way? And then God, I pray for miracles in the neighborhood. I pray for miracles in apartment complexes and in dormitories, God, that you would bring miracles. And God, we're just saying, if you want to use us, we're willing. So teach us how to pray and teach us how to pray for our neighbors. And as you change them, Lord, would you change us? And would you make us more like Jesus? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.